Hey, I'm Dave Barber. I'm a pastor here at River Valley Church, and we are exploring a new way to share Christ with people and to talk about Living Sent, and that is a podcast. So this is our first time. The producer today is Luke Fisher. He does a great job getting all this stuff together. And my first guest is Shelly Olson, and I'm excited to have Shelly here. You've probably seen her. If you come to worship here, you've seen Shelly because she plays the electric guitar. And most three weeks out of four, I think, probably. So,
if I'm lucky.
If you're lucky. You'd play every week, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
So we're going to just go back. The stories we want to hear are basically stories of God's redemption and his plan and then how you've tried to live that out. So that's where we're heading. And I know a little of your story, so I'm excited to hear it. Tell me about growing up. What was your foundation, or was there a foundation of faith? Where were you in your group?
So I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. Baptized as an infant into the Catholic Church, only because it kind of was required. In my dad's side of the family, we didn't really go to church except maybe once in a while, Christmas and Easter. But my parents were not practicing Christians at the time. They both came to the Lord after me. So God used my story to kind of reach out to them too. Nobody in our family was a Christian. Okay. Didn't have Bibles, didn't read the Bible.
Yeah.
Had probably a child's faith. I think that all kids kind of know there's a God. I feel like the world has to knock it out of them. So I kind of believed, so I remember going to sleep and, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, whatever, that there was a God. Some bad things happened in our life when I turned 13 and I started questioning that God, and it turned to a hatred.
Yeah.
You know, teenage years, puberty, all of that was going on at the same time.
It's always interesting. I think God... God is there, but then Satan wants to take a bad event and go, okay, God's not there for you.
Yes.
And immediately tell you that, and that's what you heard. And
he does.
Began to believe.
Yes. So. And looking back, though, I've never had any regrets. Why? Because I believe God allows your life to happen, to go in a certain course to prepare you for whatever he wants to use you for, or whatever character he's building in you. So, it was hard, and I turned against God, but that's just that's the path. That's the story he had for me.
Well, I know that you're a rocker.
Yeah.
So that's part of your story, is that you were a rocker. So where'd you get your first guitar?
So when I was 17, I graduated high school. I was one of the younger ones. And for my graduation present, mom asked what I wanted, and I wanted a certain very green electric guitar. And she bought it for me. So that was my first guitar.
Yeah.
A green electric guitar.
A green one. So did you have shoes that matched that? I know you enough to know that.
So I was really into shoes even back then.
Yep.
Yep.
That's funny. So you started playing.
Started playing self-taught. Yeah.
And self-taught. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have lessons?
No.
You just learned.
Yep. Just learned. Later on, I took lessons just to help learn certain songs when I was in bands. But no, I self-taught.
And when did you start playing in band? You became a rocker playing?
Yeah, well, so the journey to becoming a rocker is I moved out to Arizona. I lived in Vegas once with like a rock band and a punk band. I mean, music was everything even back then. So I played, and then I moved back to Wisconsin for a time, and I think I was like 19 or 20, and that's when I got in my first band, an all-girl band called White Witch back in the day, in the, I think, early 90s.
Yeah. White Witch, a solid Christian name for a band, right?
Not.
So how did you get that name? What was that for?
I think we chose the name because we were a show band, and we did a lot of pyrotechnics and some sort of magic kind of part of the show. Yeah. Okay. I had a flamethrower off the end of my guitar, which was kind of fun. And we had all kinds of pyrotechnics that would probably not go over nowadays. Yeah. Probably not be legal.
Probably not. Danny put in the request for it, but we said no. So that was probably not going to work. So too fun. So tell me about that phase of life. So you're 19, 20, you're playing in a band. You play every weekend, you play?
Yeah, well, in White Witch, we played every weekend. Wow. And practiced also. I immersed myself in music. Music was probably what I would call my God, small g. It was definitely my identity. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love playing with other musicians. I love being on stage. I love playing in a band. Hmm. So yeah, I was into it. I worked construction during the day. I never followed like the normal path in life. So I worked construction during the day and played in the rock band at night.
Yeah.
Then after White Witch, when that ended, I wanted to get into more heavier music. So I started my own band called Stone Pony. And that one was all girls, except we had a male drummer.
There you go.
And played just harder stuff, real hard rock, and played out with that. And it was all playing as
well,
much as
exciting
possible.
You're following the things you think you want in life.
Yes, yeah.
And did that, how did that change? I mean, what happened that made you go, this may not be all of it?
Well, I did that throughout all of my 20s. And, you know, when it's not just playing in a band, it's the lifestyle that goes with it, which is in bars, like, every night. And I have the personality that whatever I do it to the extreme almost.
Yep.
I'm all in. I always say I'm all in. I was all in the partying thing. I mean, all in. Just, I was crazy. We were crazy. We just did a lot of partying and crazy, crazy living. And, you know, I turned 29 and had a banger of a 29th birthday.
Yeah.
And the next day I woke up and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. This is not life. Drinking all the time and the partying and band didn't really go anywhere. I mean, it was fun, but what are you going to do when you turn 30? You know, what about the rest of your life?
And if you described yourself, your heart, how were you? What were you like in those days?
I was very, my heart was very hard. I was very tough. I worked at being tough. And I mean tough physically. I also bodybuild. You know, construction wasn't enough, so I did bodybuild. But I was physically very tough and mentally very tough, and my heart was very hard. So I actually got in a lot of fights, all with guys. I won every fight I was in. It's terrible. I laugh, but
it's one of the prerequisites for being in the band here now. Can you hold your own?
Oh, geez.
No. So what changed and how did that change? What was happening?
If you're asking how did God break through?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I think God could break through after I got sober is what I think. Like I say, I'm all into whatever. So I woke up after my 29th birthday and realized I had to quit drinking. I had to something had to change. So I quit drinking. I just quit drinking because I decided to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and when you quit drinking and you're kind of in a rock band, and we were working on a band in the basement at the time, but nothing playing out at the time. Mm. Funny story, I have no Christian background whatsoever, but this band I was putting together, this basement band, we were trying to think of a name for it, and I called it Redemption, not knowing. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I think that when I got sober, God could break through. He didn't use people with me like most people. He didn't use a person. I didn't know any Christians to my knowledge. If I did back then, literally I would have probably punched him. That's how hard I was. And there was nobody that could come up to me and say they were a Christian.
So and God knew that. He said, Shelly something else.
Yes. So we got to do this different. So I remember God, I was driving down Richmond Street in Appleton, and I remember all of a sudden hearing a voice in my head. It wasn't audible, but it was in my head very clear, and it was turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. It just was, and I thought, how do I do that? How do I turn to this God? I don't know anybody that knows him. I don't know, you know, where do I look for God? I'd never had good experiences at church. They were just cold.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. So that was one thing. The next thing that happened, I'm just moving on here.
You're good.
Okay. The next thing that happened was I was watching a prophecy show. I was very into prophecy, into sci-fi, very into...
You said like Nostradamus, those kind
Nostradamus. I had a Nostradamus book. I actually had Dianetics too.
Tried
that. Yeah, yeah.
Read
that. Yeah, read that. Tried it. Yeah. But anyways, the Nostradamus thing and prophecy was very interesting to me. So there was a show on in Nostradamus. They were going to be talking about him and other stuff. And it fascinated me. So I watched the show. At the end of the show, a guy named Hal Lindsey came on, and he was talking about Bible prophecy, and it was fascinating. Fascinating. I'm like, what? It's just something that I wanted to pursue. So yeah. I had never heard it before. So I'm like, oh, I got to get his book, because he probably advertised a book.
Sure.
Maybe. Sure. I don't know.
And you still haven't met any Christians.
Never met a Christian. Nope. This is all the Lord. Yeah. This is the path he used. So I happened to live literally 3 blocks away from Evangel Christian Bookstore. Mm. So, and I remember where it was because it was next to a bar I went to. So I went into there and looked for a Hal Lindsey book, and it was Planet Earth 2000. I bought it and read through the whole thing, fascinated by the prophecy. Mm. And at the end of it, there was a salvation prayer. I read through it all at first, and then I went back to it. I knew it was a call of God. It was the Spirit leading me. I went back, prayed the prayer of salvation, meant it. It was just, you know, it was me realizing. I had no problem realizing I wasn't a good person. Mm. I had no problem realizing I was a sinner, you know what I mean, with my lifestyle. But realizing there was a God who could forgive.
Yeah.
And,
So you just read the prayer at the end of the book.
Read the prayer at the end of the book.
So you didn't have anything to do next. It just, that's, here it is. Here's the prayer.
Here's the prayer. Prayed it.
Yeah.
And was born again.
Yep.
I mean, everything changed.
Yeah. So tell me, because that's an important thing. I mean, if you put your trust in Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in, there should be change. And
yes.
What changed?
Everything.
Okay.
the darkness. I felt like the darkness that was in me left. Mm. And there was a lightness. I mean, it was just like a lightness. Mm. The forgiveness, the letting it all go, the realizing that there is a God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't know anything really about him at the time, but I knew him. Hmm. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain unless you do it. But I changed. Everything changed. At the time, I knew I had to get a Bible. So I know that was the Holy Spirit. At the time, I knew that I had to find a church. Hmm. So I went back to Evangel Bookstore, bought a Bible, and of course me. I don't do anything normal. So I started in the back. I started reading Revelation.
There you go.
Yep. Yes. Book of Revelation.
We don't recommend that for anybody, but
I did. And you know, and later I've gone through Bibles where the book of Revelation falls out of the Bible. But started in the back, started reading the Bible, and then just I did a little searching on churches. I went to one that was cold, and through another God kind of appointed circumstance, I found Calvary Chapel of Appleton, actually.
Yeah.
And went there, walked in alone the first time. And unbeknownst to me at the time, this would be a whole nother story, but I sat right in front of my now husband, John.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. The first time I walked in, I sat right in front of him, and he says he noticed who is that cute bouncy blonde. That's what he said. That was what he said. But anyways, and then that was a very good Bible teaching church.
Yeah.
And I was just so hungry for the word. I was there every time the doors opened. I was at every Bible study. I read my Bible. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I'm very happy that God showed me was the importance of reading the Bible every day.
Yeah.
So when I found out that we should be in the word every day, that is life, that gives you life. It's like eating food. I took that to heart, and I've never missed a morning reading in God's word and spending time with him. So
I know you'd be important. Tenacious enough that I believe that.
Yeah.
Tenacious. I wouldn't believe that about everybody, but I would believe that about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's really cool. So tell me just a couple of the verses that made a difference. Some text you read that you said, oh, that's really true.
Like early on or now or throughout the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't mind either one, whatever.
The scripture about God making all things new, that I am a new creation.
Yeah.
I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah.
I'm a new creation. All things are created new. Very apropos to my life. I definitely knew I was a new creation in everything. One of the verses that made a huge impact is Romans 12:1, that we are a living sacrifice. Even now, That is a verse that I think of often because I think of, okay, as a living sacrifice, you have to keep yourself on that altar.
Yeah.
And we want to keep getting off the altar.
Yeah.
But I also think of the word sacrifice. Like everything that I do, like even this, I feel like if you live a life of saying yes, Lord, always, if you're that sacrifice, you're going to say yes. And a sacrifice means it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you something. So that's one of my.
But the cool thing about it is I always feel like if you say yes to God, you find yourself in places you would never have known.
Exactly. It's quite an adventure.
Yeah, it is. It is. I had an elder told me one time that he said, Dave, you know what it means when there are two turtles on a fence post? And I said, no, well, that's a weird thing. He goes, it means somebody put them there. And he said, you and I got here because God put us here.
Yes.
This is where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it was a good point. It was a good point for me to go, oh, if you just follow him, he puts you where he wants you. So
exactly.
That's really, really fun.
Yep.
You still love playing music.
Yes.
So you said, I think earlier, one time we talked, and you got rid of all your stuff when you first came to Christ too?
Yeah. So again, this is me, my personality of an all-in personality.
Yeah.
When I first got saved, I did realize that music was my God. Music was my identity.
Hmm.
And I, for some reason, and this, I say for some reason, it was all the Spirit. Everything was all the Spirit of God doing it.
Yeah.
But I just, to offer to him as an offering, as a sacrifice early on, I offered all of my music because that was the most important thing to me.
Mm.
So I sold everything. I kept one guitar, my most bland guitar, which I still was bored with and sold. But anyways, I kept one guitar, but I sold almost all my equipment, all my old music.
Yeah.
I sold like hundreds and hundreds of CDs of rock music and ended up with like 15 Christian CDs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
who was the first Christian group you really liked?
Oh, the first Christian group I really liked. I don't know. Probably the first one that I really, really liked, probably Casting Crowns.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Tomlin.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
So when did you start playing again for the Lord? When did
that happen? So I gave that all, and I gave up my music to him. And I feel like, and he set me aside playing-wise for many, many, many years.
Mm.
And then he started bringing it back when I got married to my husband, John. For our first anniversary, John bought me an acoustic guitar, Martin. I always had all electrics.
Yeah.
You know, why would I play acoustic back then? But anyways.
Right.
He bought me an acoustic guitar. So that was my first kind of path back. And so I would play a little bit. I played for a Bible study that we were in weekly and stuff like that. And he kind of eked it back in. And then much later, and I feel like I had to take that time off because of how strong my identity was tied to playing.
Mm-hmm.
God needed to work on me before I think he was ready to let me back. Because playing now on a worship team is different. Man, it's all about God. It ain't about the band. It's not about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I love watching people worship God. That is one of my favorite things. And I love watching you worship because you're a worshiper from your heart. It's just, it's not about you. You're not there for anything else but to let God be glorified. And that's cool. Plus, you get to use a whammy bar once in a while, right?
Yeah.
So there aren't many churches where you can do that.
A whammy bar. And now Christian music, now we can use the slide guitar.
Oh,
that's so fun.
Yes. I love those parts. So.
Yeah. But so God brought it back many years after I was a Christian. And he started, and then all of a sudden, there was an opportunity to play electric on a worship team. And I did that, and that was kind of fun. And then I played electric a little bit, acoustic more for the Lord in different places, and then really jumped back into electric. Actually, more fairly recently, last like seven years or whatever. And it is such a joy to take something, because I love it as much now as I did back then.
Mm.
But that God would allow me to still have that joy, but deeper and better. I never played sober before. Now I play with the Spirit and to please him, and it's so much different, so much better, so much joy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It comes through. I get to see that to you. So you have a couple more guitars than you used to have now, right?
Yeah.
How many do you have now?
I have four electrics, two acoustics and
yes,
a bass.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we know you around here as a person who also likes your shoes to match your guitar. And so that happens quite often. So
it's the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Girls well, got to match.
That's right. You have a lot of skills. I mean, I've seen you. You have a lot of things. You have mastered how to make macaroons. That's not
I've not
easy
mastered
thing.
It, but I can do it. Yeah.
You can do that. I mean, when you set your mind to it, you go.
Yep.
So tell me about your life since following Christ. What has it been? What's the passions of your life now? Music is one, and playing worship. What else is a passion of yours in terms of following Jesus?
Well, my passion would be, prayer for, I still pray deeply for all of my friends and family that don't know the Lord. Mm. But passion is just to, I don't know, anything that would show God's glory, anything that would show him, anything that he could use me for, it's amazing that he would use me for anything. It just amazes me. And yeah, just anything, service to God, I guess, would be a passion for me. I mean, any service I can do for him, anything.
Yeah. Neat. Yeah. And you've had a few people come to Christ who are around you, some family friends who've come?
Yeah, well, the first one was my mom.
Really?
Yeah, no, she was a seeker too, and she believed God, but she wasn't a born-again Christian. And only a couple weeks after I started, it might have even been the second week of me going to Calvary after I found the church, mom started going, and it wasn't 2 months later that, I think at Easter, at an Easter service, my mom gave her heart to the Lord. Then my dad was another story. My dad was on my list of people. I started praying for a list of people immediately. He would have been the least likely for me to think to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
And God used a service about forgiveness and me writing a letter of forgiveness to my dad at a time when he was going through something really rough that I didn't know about. And right before I was getting married, so we didn't even know if he'd come up for the wedding, but God used just a series of circumstances in my letter of forgiveness that I was doing, thinking for me to save him. And that was another radical salvation. And it was cool because I had 2 years with my dad, and then he died a very young man. He was only 54. But God knew that, and he saved him before that. So
God's so good to us, isn't he?
Yep.
Man, that's and I just love what you said. Forgiveness is really powerful.
Very powerful.
And you were talking early about life where you had a lot of darkness in your life. But then forgiveness and light go together.
Yeah.
Like darkness and unforgiveness go together.
Yeah, exactly.
So, really cool.
Yes. So,
and I think you're the one who came up with Guns and Glitter. Is that right?
So
around here at River Valley, we have this thing we're called Guns and Glitter. And it's craft projects and it's usually coffee. You make a lot of special coffees.
Yeah, that would be a passion of mine.
Yes.
Now that come to think of it, coffee is a passion of mine.
Yep.
Yes.
You a lot. And gardening and shooting guns. And
yes.
All those kind of things. So, well, it's really been great. It has been so nice to just sit here and talk to you. I love being a worshiper in the room while you guys are up there worshiping. And I know your heart is to worship God and serve him well. And I think you are a changed person.
Yeah.
That's really an exciting thing to have. So. Anything you want to say last as we kind of wrap up?
No, I mean, I would say to anybody that doesn't know God, I mean, my story is a proof that God is real. And anybody that says, you can't see him, how do you know? And stories like mine and anybody's, really, everybody's got a story, is proof that God is real. And I could talk till I'm blue in the face about how real he is and miracles. He still works. And then the other thing is people that know him that are kind of floundering, my heart would be to tell people, just live a life saying yes Lord.
Yeah.
No matter what he asks, just say yes, like this.
Yep.
You ask me and I'm like, yes. You know, I didn't think about what I'm getting into or anything. I just have a habit to live a life saying yes Lord, and that's the best thing that's the most adventurous thing you can do as a Christian.
And you should know, I was a little late. My producer Luke has been telling me I got to get some people for this, and I was actually sitting in my car last Friday and I was praying and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And I said, who do you want me to ask? And he said, Shelley Olson. And he gave me two or three other names, and all of them said yes.
That's awesome.
That's
God. Cool.
That's pretty cool. All God. So, well, we're going to wrap up. This is the first podcast of River Valley Church's Exploring Faith. And
awesome.
I just thank you so much for being a part of helping
Thanks
us explore
asking.
Faith. Yeah. God bless.